Canadian politics is boring.
Welcome to another episode of Canadian Politics is Boring. I don't know why I was doing a wobbly voice, but hello.
I liked it. Normally you're a little boring and just kind of monotone.
I'm still like, Reese. Welcome to Canadian Politics. This is still Jesse.
Yeah.
And we're still doing a podcast.
We're still amazingly. Yeah. I love this thing, man. For a podcast that was originally supposed to have 12 episodes last winter.
I know. Right.
This is fun. This is really fun.
I'm having fun. Mm-hmm. Are you ready to learn about something?
I am ready to learn.
Something in my eye. There we go.
Ready to learn about something in your eye? Yeah. Tell me about the thing in your eye, Reese.
My finger was in my eye.
I did see that. Yeah, that was good.
Have you ever heard of the Gustav?
We're not even doing small talk.
Oh, sorry.
Just jumping right into learning? God damn, Reese.
How was your day?
It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
I did a little grocery shopping. I made some fruits. So my birthday was recently.
I know, and you didn't tell me. I missed it completely.
I didn't really tell anybody, but you did.
I mean,
you left me a wonderful voicemail singing, happy birthday, fuckface. What are you, 50 now? That was...
It's what I do.
You sung it. It was lovely.
It's what I do.
Yeah. Now I turned 42 and I've been trying the ketogenic diet recently, which is great. I've lost like 10 or 11 pounds in a month, which is amazing. And so like I've been fasting and keto, which is a great combination. I've been like learning about this stuff for years. And my birthday was there. I'm like, my parents want to make me a cake. And I'm like, all right, I can have a cheat day. And so I was all prepared to have like a cheat week. And my friend Ryan invited some friends over. Not many. It's COVID safe. And we just played some games. And he's like, don't buy any snacks or anything like that. We're doing a keto feast. I'm like, what? Okay. And so I go over there and there's a couple of my friends there and he's got Jackbox on the TV. And in front of me is this just giant feast of meat and cheese and a couple bits of broccoli. Right. Just like, and then my other friend Drew brings out like plate after plate after plate of various flavored barbecued drumsticks, along with these huge buckets of pepperoni chopped up into various spices and hot levelsness.
Did you go to one of those new age meat chasms?
It was crazy how much meat and cheese there was. Just insane. And then they split it up and they gave me a portion to take home. And I've been eating it like as a full meal once or twice a day for this entire week. That's wow. How much that was just what I took home. Like it was an insane. He told me he spent $159 on meat and cheese.
I bet you're looking forward to being able to defecate again one day.
Oh my God. Any day now. You know, like just sit on the toilet and cry every night.
This is wonderful small talk. I love small talk. It involves people's bowels and dietary stuff. I've had a great week. I'm tired. It's been busy, but I'm good. I'm.
What you been busy doing?
Ow!
That was sympathetic pain. It didn't hurt me. it hurt me to watch you.
Those of you who have given in to the soft urgings of following us on Instagram.
The soft urgings.
I managed to link my laptop up and mix audio in my car car sound system as speakers.
That was a while ago, but I liked that.
That was good fun.
That
was a good time. But yeah, enough small talk about your bowels and my car.
Let's mix the two together, Reese.
No.
Let's go on a road trip and just hold it in.
The toilets of Nova Scotia. It could be a photography book where you use a toilet and then you take a picture of the toilet.
I don't actually think someone could pay me to do that. No. Show. I'm normally up for any kind of crazy suggestion, but I think that pushes the limit for me.
There's a British comedian who takes photos of dog eggs or dog droppings, whatever you want to call them.
You did that.
And names them. And he sells photography books and it's just collections of dog crap that he's taking photos of.
I did that. I made that once, except it was slightly different. It was supposed to be a fun gag joke for my buddy Ryan's birthday.
If you would listen to this, please don't take photos of poo.
No. So like he had a cat, sadly passed away, but he had a cat named Scratch. And my friend Drew and I thought it'd be really funny to make a photo book of all of Scratch's puke because Scratch was a pukey cat. He just puked a lot. She puked a lot. And so we, like, for months, would just take photos of all of Scratch's puke, and then we, like, printed it off in this, like, glossy photo book and handed it to him, and he fucking hated it. Oh. Understandably so, though.
Good reading of the room.
Yeah.
Congratulations. So we're going to talk about the Gustafsson Lake.
We talked about, in our small talk, we talked about bowel movements, editing in a car, taking photos of dog shit, and taking photos of cat puke.
Yeah.
This is, okay, par for the course.
See, right, so you're listening to Canadian Politics is Boring, the premium Canadian political satire show, where we discuss all manner of Canadian politics. This is about, I'm going to say the title, I'm going to try and say the title again before you try and interrupt me with a recap of the diorama of, don't pull the can when I try and say the episode. You finished? Can we do, sorry people at home.
You get that ASMR, man. They love that shit.
Gustafsson Lake Standoff. Have you heard of that?
No.
Gustafsson Lake Standoff. I probably said it wrong.
But, this is a lake, Gustafsson Lake. There's a standoff at Gustafsson Lake.
So the Gustafsson Lake Standoff was a month-long conflict between a small group of First Nation Sundancers and the RCMP.
Oh, this is going to be depressing as 1995. Fuck, isn't it?
No, it's insane.
It's insane?
Okay. It's an insane story. Right. I'm happy kind of, with it. You know,
I hate when you sneak in really gory, depressing episodes.
No, it's there is some depth, but it's not the main point of it. So the main part of this story is that it's just crazy. It's like almost like a pitched battle between First Nations people and the RCMP.
A what battle?
Like a pitched battle. Like a pitched battle? Like as in like people with guns shooting at each other.
Jesus. This is a 1995. Holy fuck. Okay. Tell me about this pitched battle.
I would have been 11 years old. You would have been about 30. Anyway.
So... Thanks, Reese.
Happy birthday, Fuckface. Anyway, this is in BC. So for several years, the predominantly, now I'm going to try and say this is a First Nations name. I'm sorry if I offend you, like I do all of the French Canadians all of the time. The Sekwepemc people.
I'm going to turn the screen.
Sekwepemc.
Yeah, I'd say the same thing.
Sekwepemc people, or the Sundancers, as I will call them from now on,
right,
before I ruin somebody else's day. people from the region, basically they were participating in a ceremony known as the Sundance that gathered every July at Gustafsson Lake, which is known as Tuspetan to the Sundance people who attend, and it was on a pasture of land in British Columbia owned by an American rancher called Lyle James. So it was essentially, it was a really important part of their community. That patch of land was sacred to them.
Okay.
And in all of the land,
and this is in British Columbia.
And in all the land grabs that have happened, it was no longer their property, or they weren't in control or living in that sacred area. So they had to get permission from the landowner, the American rancher, to go and use it. And he didn't mind.
What were they using it for?
To have a month-long ceremony in the sacred area.
Oh, and you said the rancher didn't mind.
The rancher didn't mind. They were on good terms. So he lived near some reserves. He had a lot of indigenous people working for him.
Was this the rancher you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. He had a lot of people working on his property. And it was pretty amicable. And he would allow the Sundancers yearly access to the land.
That sounds nice.
For a 10-day ceremony, provided they did not erect any permanent structures.
That sounds nice.
It is nice. Yeah. It's like, yeah, do it. Go on.
Right.
I appreciate you know, pick up the litter. All that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, but that all changed in the summer of 1995. So the Sundancers.
You have to do that again, Reese.
That all changed in 1995.
That's better. That's more Canadian, like something from the CBC. But now do like a horror sort of documentary where like it's this, like you can hear like a low piano note happening. Dome.
Dome.
Like boom is the boom. Piano.
Dome and bone.
No, like...
Okay. Well, anyway...
But that all changed in the summer of 1995.
You did it. That's fine.
There okay, you go. Good.
So the Sundancers, led by Percy Rosette, who was an elder, they erected a small structure and a fence to keep James's cattle out of the sacred site. And this angered James, and he delivered an eviction notice to them, demanding that they leave. So the camp had about 20 people there, and before the month-long Sundance cycle was complete, they were told to leave. And there were some allegations that the ranch hands had harassed the Sundancers using racist language and even fired warning shots at the campers.
Oh, that's shit, man. I thought these were nice farmers. Fuck,
they
were,
but then someone
erected a fucking fence and they went all fucking
to keep
crazy
the cows then. Off the sacred site, which I think is understandable. You don't want cows, you know, wandering around doing cow things on an area that you think is important.
But again, it's just like a conversation like, hey, I know you don't want us to erect permanent structures. Can we put up a fence? Sure.
But the Sundancers refused to leave, and they carried on with the ceremony, and everything proceeded through July as normal. But there were frequent meetings between the RCMP and the Sundance community there, and the James family who owned the land. They had tensions were high, but they started talking to each other because they refused to leave. James wasn't happy. He called the police. He issued an eviction notice. So tensions were high, and they started talking. Each side saw the other as the illegal occupier. So the Sundancers were like, this has been our site for as long as anyone can remember. And generations before. You've only been here 30 years or 100 years or whatever since they took over. And then the other person was like, I've got a piece of paper that says I own this. This is my legal land. So no one came to terms. So they stayed there through August, resisting notice. And then skirmishes between armed campers, ranch hands, and undercover RCMP members escalated.
Jesus.
So they had skirmishes. So like little flare-ups would happen between armed people. Some of them were...
Oh, my God.
So some of them were ranch hands, yeah. And because of this, because every now and again there'd be a little fight breakout and people were heavily armed on both sides, national media attention started to come to town.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. You think, we refuse to leave. And then undercover officers with guns having like little skirmishes. It's just insane.
It's kind of amazing, actually. Yeah. Where it was like, it was so peaceful before and everyone's just, you know, they just got along and did their thing. And then one little fence.
But also, this happened every year and they left after a certain amount of time because they were there for this festival.
Right.
So because the escalations were high, they were staying there longer. So this rolled on into September, which didn't usually happen. It was usually a 10-day event. So so the RCMP in early September started putting plans together to remove them by force, which, you know, is never going to go very well.
I mean, it typically doesn't, no.
So they sent an emergency response team to surprise the camp. Which I think emergency response team is just a nice rebranding of just a bunch
assholes
of
with guns.
Assholes with guns. Want to beat the shit out of people to scare them off. And they'd recruited recruited militant and armed individuals to join them. So not all of them were officers. They were like, hey, get a rabble. Hey, do you want to join my rabble? Armed mob.
Armed mob?
Armed mob.
Oh, armed mob.
So bringing in equipment such as helicopters and several armored personnel carriers.
Jesus Christ.
This is people who
have...
is people having a small religious festival.
How many people were at the religious festival?
Hang on, let me check. There was usually...
What was the name of... what was their name again? I forget. You mispronounced it.
There were about 20 there.
So 20 people.
Having a small religious festival.
A small religious festival. I'm assuming these people were unarmed.
Yes, I think so.
Okay. And they're bringing...
I think some of them were armed.
Okay.
I believe some of them were. But not in military sense, in a sense of I live in Canada in the wild.
And I have a rifle hunting.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Okay, so let's say, I don't know, how many people in a 20-party group need rifles for, like, let's say six rifles against, and then they branded what, like a helicopter and tanks?
Several armored personnel carriers from the Canadian military.
Yeah, this seems like an appropriate response. Fuck's sake, man. Oh, my God.
On September the 11th, a truck driven by two of the defenders, or the Sundance defenders, near the perimeter of the camp, hit an explosive that had been planted by the RCMP.
Fuck.
So the RCMP have gone, what should we do? I don't know, let's hide bombs.
Yeah, that's always a smart plan.
See what happens.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Which is just, I couldn't find any more detail on that. I was like, why are the RCMP?
That's weird, really?
Yeah.
Why you figured that'd be in the news.
Why are they planting explosives? Like, either they dropped it and left it there by accident so that someone could drive a truck over it, in which case, that's pretty bad.
Right.
That was gross negligence. Or they planted it there hoping that someone would drive over in a truck, which is technically...
way worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's disgusting. Like a, and someone hit it.
And this is the 90s. Hello, this is the 90s. You know, this is like when Saved by the Bell was at its peak. It's not that long ago.
It's a good reference. Thank you for...
No problem.
I almost forgot what the... I almost forgot when the 90s were. Thank
you. The Simpsons were in their heyday. Other TV shows were too.
Other TV...
High Tops.
Right. You know. Forgot about High Tops.
Exactly. So two activists fled on foot because of this explosion by this planted... and a firefight between the RCMP and the activists ensued, lasting 45 minutes and involving thousands of rounds of ammunition.
Jesus Christ.
One non-Indigenous supporter was shot in the arm. There were no serious injuries sustained by either the police or the defenders. And
thousands of rounds were shot and no one was hit.
And the only fatality was a dog owned by one of the defenders.
So either everyone was really bad shot... or they just weren't trying to hit anybody.
Wait, you know, like, do you used to watch the A-Team?
No, I never really did.
So on the A-Team, it was on in the middle of the day. But obviously, they shot lots of machine guns. Mm-hmm. And because it was on daytime TV, no one could die or be killed. So you'd have all these really extended gunfights. Or like a helicopter would crash. And the next shot, you'd see them crawling out, like rubbing their hands, right. Going, oh, ow. And it kind of reminds me of that. It's almost like, did... I hope the RCMP didn't actually want to kill anyone and that people were missing on purpose. They were just trying to
scare them off or something.
Right. I don't know.
Or thousands of rounds were shot and no one...
Either they had a heart or they were poorly trained. Or both.
Both are hard to believe. Yeah. Man. Like, just...
Or maybe it's just blind luck that nobody was killed.
Well, the poorly trained is actually easier to believe.
Which is sad.
Yeah, that's very sad. Yeah.
I couldn't find out what the dog was called.
Oh. Which is sad. You just want to name it now?
No. Because it's disrespectful to the dog. Whatever that dog was called. Stat. So by this time, after the thousands of rounds of ammunition and the planted explosive, they agreed to leave because they liked... they probably wanted to come back be able to try and come back the next year.
Oh my God, please alive. Tell me they tried. Did they try?
No, I don't...
Hey, Farmer Bob. Remember last year? That was a bit crazy, right? Can we try this again?
So
no fences this time.
So a spiritual advisor, an Indigenous spiritual advisor came as well and said, listen, let's just go home. You know, this is crazy.
Right.
The standoff cost an estimated $5.5 million and involves at least 400 police officers.
Where the fuck is this money being spent? 400?
400 police officers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm really glad nobody died.
Police charged.
A dog died. Did you say someone died with the
bomb? No,
they
got shot in the arm.
Someone got shot in the arm.
And a dog died.
And a dog. Who?
Luckily.
Yeah,
it was
very
just
lucky.
Very light casualties. Police charged 14 First Nations people and 4 non-Indigenous supporters with 60 offences, including 2 counts of attempted murder. No one was charged for planting the explosive or accidentally leaving an explosive.
Right.
Which is...
Of course not.
Evidence presented at the trial sparked accusations the RCMP had engaged in a campaign of deliberate media disinformation, barring journalists from the site to speak with the activists and smearing the First Nations leaders. Basically, they were kind of... there's a guy called Don Campbell, who's a Kamloops lawyer, who had defended Shuswap people in some of the cases and said that a lot of the people were characterized as domestic terrorists. 20,000, he said there were 20,000 rounds of ammunition that were expelled in the end.
Jesus Christ.
And they actually ended up mowing down dozens of trees in the gunfire. That's how serious it was.
Wow.
In the end, a jury set aside the 2 most serious attempts of murder, and 15 people, and they only delivered, so basically jail sentences ranged from 6 months to 8 years for the defenders in the end.
Wow.
And that was the outcome of it. So after all that, RCMP, nobody faced any charges. There was no real investigation.
They never do, man.
There was no investigation to the event either.
No, they never do.
They never look back on it. So it just seems like such, it could have been dealt with very differently.
It could have been dealt, yeah. Like if a little bit of...
You need to send in armored vehicles, tanks, bury some explosives around the perimeter and shoot a dog.
Right.
And mow down several trees with a machine gun. just, or machine guns, or I mean, maybe they didn't have machine guns. Maybe it was just lots of rounds of whatever they did. Anyway, it just sounds crazy.
But it's, I mean, it's an, it brings up an interesting point, which like is, you know, when we try to avoid really, really deep topics on our comedy political show.
Sometimes you got to, I mean, I just think the story's crazy. But the like fact the, that nobody knows about it.
I was talking to my friend Howie on the way over to record this podcast, and I was saying how blown away I am at how you constantly find shit like this. You always find these weird stories.
It's called reading.
Yeah, well, nobody, I guess I don't do that or something. Like, I don't know.
Read. I'll get you a pop-up book for your birthday.
No, it's just interesting, the whole rightful owner of land scenario and how angry people get at that, and how there are some really interesting points to be made on both sides. And when that happens, it's always best to have armed standoffs. Obviously, that's the best way to resolve this shit.
Nothing says I care about your feelings, let's get around the table and talk, than 20,000 rounds of ammunition.
Right, exactly. Yes.
And a sacrificial dog. It just seems ridiculous.
Yes, it is ridiculous. Yeah, absolutely.
I think the better thing to do would be to just let them carry on and let that farmer be angry. And they all would have gone home early.
Right.
And the RCMP would have $5.5 million extra.
Well, like logic and emotion, they don't mix, as we well know. If anyone here is married or in a relationship at all, Reese, you're married for a while, so you probably understand that all too well. But
I don't know what you mean. Okay.
If someone has a logical point to make and they're angry about it, the number one thing you have to do is dispel their anger, not argue their logic, right? It's just dispel their anger. Get rid of their anger. You do that by listening to them. You do that by just being like attentive. And then once they're no longer angry about it, then you can talk about it, right? But like if both sides are angry, then you get 20,000 fucking rounds of ammunition and a dead dog. Like that's just...
And no trees.
And no, yeah.
I don't know. I think that's how most married couples argue, but that is, if you're a married couple and that's how you argue, I suggest therapy, couples therapy. That's what they needed, was just therapists to turn up, not 400 therapists with 20,000 rounds of love. That's what they needed.
Like a Care Bear stare?
Yeah, just anything.
Just take off their shirt.
20,000 hours of
point
therapy.
Their nipples in their general direction and just scream love at them.
Just get everyone to, yeah.
Yeah.
Love.
Ripping off their shirts and pointing nipples. Yeah. I think that'd be much more effective, honestly.
And armored love carriers.
Yeah.
That's what they needed. That's the only way to resolve it. But anyway.
That's where they get their Care Bear stare stashes from, is the armored love carriers. Yeah.
Did you like this story? I say like. Did you find the story interesting?
It was interesting. I wouldn't call it like the highlight of my day. It was just learning about this skirmish, but like, or various skirmishes, but there were lots very of, but this fascinating.
This was one of many. We can do more episodes on the other ones. But this was like a lesser known one, but there was a lot of armed standoffs between the RCMP and indigenous people. And there's one really famous one I want to cover where the army turned up.
What if this was a ruse? What if the farmer was actually always in like a really good relationship with the native people who wanted to borrow his land, and he really needed to chop down those trees.
That's pretty elaborate plan,
right? And so he sat them down and like, look, let's stage a fight, okay? And I'll call the RCMP and I'll tell them like, look, just scare them off and don't.
You know what they're like? They're going to end up shooting all the trees.
Shoot all the trees down.
That's what they do. I mean, it's plausible, but I mean, it's kind of, he's thinking many, many moves ahead.
Well, I mean, he could have been a chess.
It's a very high risk strategy. I'm going to say
true.
I'm going to say that's probably,
let's call that a plan B as an option for possibilities in the realm.
A very
of,
elaborate plan B.
Yeah.
I think what happened was you just got angry.
Really?
And called, okay. And called the police.
You go with your theory. I'll go with my theory. Yeah,
okay. You can have your alternative theories of history. thanks for listening. I hope that you all enjoyed learning about it. If you live near that lake and you know anyone who was there, get them to talk about it more. And maybe they are talking about it.
That's a good point, yeah.
Or is share this story. Not necessarily this podcast. Find it. Send people the link. There's a bunch of articles about it. Do not use us as an educational source. But there was no like major inquiry. It's one of those things you go, there could be an inquiry. Most of the people are still alive.
Wow.
To find out why. And I don't know. If you're looking for something to do this weekend, don't plant explosives casually around the perimeter of a camp.
Thanks, Reese. Because it, always good advice coming from you.
Because apparently that's fine. but it's really not. So, how would you like to go to our YouTube channel?
Oh, which is the call to action. Okay.
YouTube channel. We
don't really do. Are we starting to repost on YouTube now?
Sometimes we do. We have 203 subscribers, and we also have a music video. We have.
That's true. Is that on YouTube now?
That's always been on YouTube.
Oh, sweet. Fucking yeah. Go check out our YouTube video. And we've got a virtual reality 360 virtual reality. You can put on a virtual reality helmet and watch us one of our episodes.
If you don't have a helmet, you can just use
browser. YouTube and browse and use your mouse.
One of our videos got taken down for harassment and bullying. The QAnon episode was taken down for harassment and bullying.
What are you talking about?
I don't know whether we made too many Justin Trudeau eating baby jokes or someone from the QAnon community felt we bullied them. But
happened? No fucking way. I feel like a celebrity now. That's amazing.
I tried to repeal it, but they said, no, we've double checked and you were being harassy bully people. That was the exact words they used.
Harassy bully people.
Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't double check.
Go on Vimeo, you harassy bully people. It's no place for you on YouTube. This is where everyone gets on.
Anyway, did we harass the QAnon? Is that what we harassing bullies?
I think we pissed off some QAnon people, but I don't care.
Yeah, who gives a shit?
reality.
That's honestly, I'm much happier that happened than having the video exist on our YouTube.
But yeah, exactly. I'm willing to take the hit on that.
Like, that's just cool. Honest to God, that's cool. You know you've made it when you've pissed off the QAnon.
Don't harass and bully people. Unless they say something really stupid.
Yeah, that's interesting. And no, side note. That's really interesting. Because Spotify was really amped up their podcasting game, right? They paid for Joe Rogan's podcast and they're advertising podcasts on the mobile app. Like if you scroll, it's like, here's some podcasts to suggest. They never used to do that. They're really going hardcore. And we're laughing like, oh, podcasts aren't censored, blah, 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 yet. Okay. So YouTube was like 5-6 years ago was the golden age of YouTube. Okay. That's when all the people who've been doing it for 5 to 10 years.
The golden age of YouTube.
It's true though. Like all the YouTubers have been doing it for 5 to 10 years are suddenly millionaires. Right. And life is good. And all the people love their shit and they could just be creative in any way that they wanted. And like the YouTube was making tons of money for themselves and the users were making tons of money and everyone was making lots of money. And the creative aspect of it was wild and free. And these videos were spectacular. It was wonderful. And then PewDiePie fucked it all up by being a racist asshat. And the sponsors who were sponsoring his video were like, wait a second, we don't want to sponsor a racist. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And that's when YouTube's like,
no, that was in the official press release of Coca-Cola.
Was it really?
No.
No, it was. That's when that happened, right? That's when.
You worried that
I'm not worried. No,
because we made fun of racist conspiracy theorists that we might not get sponsors. To be honest, if a brand is worried about that audience sector, I wouldn't want their money anyway. So, listen, the stats have come in. The neo-Nazis and the skinheads really don't like what you're saying. So we're not going to sponsor you. Well, fuck you, Pepsi.
And that's where we'll end the show with fuck you, Pepsi. Pepsi, please get a hold of us.
Go to YouTube.